Okie doke. Thank you. Thanks so much, Sandy. I really appreciate those that try to be helpful to me because it has to be a challenge. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for all that you are to us. And we ask that you would be with us, that you would be close to us, that your spirit, the Holy Spirit, would encourage our hearts. It's unusually weird times for us. It's weird in terms of the government. It's weird in terms of health. It's just weird. We meet one another. We can't shake hands. Everything seems to be just off base. And Father, we pray that these words would encourage and strengthen our hearts, and we would go from here strengthened by you, not by a speaker, but by you. So we ask that you would help us with that. In Christ's name, amen. One of you said to me, "Hey, I see we're going to speak this morning." I said, "You too? That would be great." I snuck out just before this to blow my nose, and Al looked at me and I said, "I'm leaving." But it's not like that. It's actually a wonderful privilege to be here. Not because I like being in the center of things, although I have a way of liking that, but because I love you very much. So with that in mind, let's open our Bibles to what I think is a pretty tough passage, Psalm chapter 55. And we'll read it together. It's fairly long, so be patient with me. I'll have to take a pause and maybe drink some water along the way. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide thyself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressures of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. Confuse, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her upon her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in their midst. Destruction is in their midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. Do not depart from her streets." Now there's a big change in tone here, and don't miss it. "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself. but it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together, we walked in the house of God in the throng. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling and in their midst. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice, and he will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For they are many, there are many who strive with me. God will hear and answer them. Even then, one who sits in the throne from old, Selah, with whom there is no change, and who do not fear God. He has put forth his hand against those who were at peace with him. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was at war. His words were softer than oil. Then they were drawn swords. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. But thou, O God, wilt bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed, deceit, and deceit will not live out their days, but I will trust in thee. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So this psalm, it kind of doesn't read as smooth and as comforting as many of the psalms we're used to. Kind of used to the 23rd psalm, it's very comforting, the Lord is my shepherd. The imagery in this psalm is quite a bit different, isn't it? And I wonder if you can detect real quickly what's going on. Well, if you move to verse 12, it kind of jumps out in a way that's a little bit uncomfortable. It says this, "For it's not an enemy that comes against me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one that hates me." But it goes on to say, "It's a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend." And so the psalmist is crying out because somebody has betrayed him. And I hate to say it, but betrayal happens. It happens in families. It happens in couples. It happens in churches. It happens in friendships. It happens in business relationships. It happens a lot. Perhaps it happens more than it should. And people bear scars of betrayal for a long, long time. And those scars can really reach into their lives in ways that are very destructive sometimes. People that shouldn't let us down do let us down. And please don't think less of me, but I've been on both ends of this. I've been the person that let others down, and I've been the person that felt the betrayal of others who I didn't think should be betraying me. And I bet you have too. And this is a little bit how I feel this week. Like, shouldn't these guys know better? Any of these guys? Whether they're the people that stormed the Capitol or the president or the people that are opposing him or... And I don't want to turn this political, but I just want you to make that connect, if you would, with me. Okay? So when we're hurt badly, what do we do? How do we fix it? Because we can see through this psalm, and we'll loop back to it in a few minutes, that the psalmist, he sort of vents some anger, right? He said, let it rip. Take them down. Okay? Take them down to the grave alive. That doesn't sound like psalmist talk, if I can say it that way. That doesn't sound like a very kind way to express yourself. Psalms there in that particular place is expressing his deep emotion and frustration. And if you're honest with yourself, and I'm honest with myself, we get those moments when we're like, he did what? Take him down alive. Don't we? Yeah, we do, and we have to be really cautious about that. But let's see if we can draw some steps from here that are really practical and really useful and really will help us walk through the difficulty of betrayal. It's going to be a difficult few months because we live in a world where people are very zealous about whatever their political stripe is. And one of the things I'd like to get you to by the end of this message is our job is to love people. Stop there. Our job is to love people. And I'm very, very fortunate. I have friends of every political stripe. And I'm just thankful for them. So let's look at what might be the first step. We'll go to verse 22, and you'll see a verse there in Psalm 55 that sounds an awful lot like something you've heard somewhere else. It says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. You've heard that before, haven't you? We used to sing a little chorus. I don't think I'll sing it for you because you're born enough by having me. But we used to sing, I'll cast all my cares upon you. I'll lay all my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I don't know what to do, I'll cast all my cares upon you. So what exactly does that mean? How do you do that? What kind of casting is this? Well, the other place you know that verse from is 1 Peter. At least I think it is, right? 1 Peter chapter 5. So let's go there and take a quick look. I'm going to keep you busy flipping around in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the right time, the proper time, casting your cares, casting your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And that's written by Peter, right? Anybody remember what Peter did for a living? Fisherman. What do fishermen do regularly? They fish. They cast, don't they? Yeah, they take these, you know, fishermen in that age was not like, you know. Was that good? Anyway, it wasn't like that. Miles, your son does that, right? It wasn't that kind of casting. It was these smelly, difficult, hard to manage nets that they would cast. You ever try to throw something that's a little uncooperative? Yeah, it's a little weird, isn't it? So Peter knew about casting. He knew it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to do. He knew it meant picking up something difficult and heavy and hard to manage and casting it. Are your burdens difficult and heavy and hard to manage? If they're not, come to me after, because mine are. Some of them play in my head. Some of them won't go away. Some of them are 30 years old. So the first thing we're asked to do is to cast these things. And what might that mean? What is that process? Because sometimes as Christians, we say things a little glibly, right? So somebody comes up to me and says, oh, Ken, blah, 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 my daughter's doing this. And it's, and I say, yeah, I agree with some kids, they do that. Cast that upon the Lord. Let's have coffee. I don't think that helps. And I've been guilty of that. I don't think that helps. In fact, it would help if when I said that, the person looked back at me and said, what on earth does that mean? How do I cast it upon the Lord? How do you do that? So let me give you some thoughts about what that might be. You know, I don't want to ever be a guy that gives you like Hallmark card phrases. I want to give you stuff you can use. I'm just like you. I need to make my faith work Friday and Tuesday and days that are not Sunday. And if you're like me, this is the easiest place for me to use my faith. Everybody agrees with me, and everybody's, Ken, it's good to see you. So glad you're speaking, blah, 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 blah. And they want to encourage me and pat me on the back. Ray came over and he prayed with me. It was sweet. It's great. But like Tuesday, it's a lot tougher than that, right? So if you've suffered through my Sunday school class, you know I'm working on giving you a Tuesday faith. I'm working on what works when you're at work and people act like jerks. I'm working on what works when your kids say and do things that you like. Where did they get that? Right? By the way, I used to say, I don't know if I'm on the internet or not, but if any of my kids see this, I'm going to pay. But I used to say, I'll brag on my kids when they're 40. Diane, you probably remember me saying that in Sunday school or whatever. And now my kids are starting to cross 40. And they're like, are you going to brag on me now, Dad? Well, I'm very fortunate because I have brag-worthy kids. But a lot of our lives move along a continuum that continues to be difficult. Our faith gives us the tools to face difficulty, but our faith doesn't, it's not like a magic wand that will never face difficulty. You and I know people of faith that have borne very difficult circumstances and continue to. Right now I know I think after the announcement this morning, I know 6 people with COVID. Like, Lord, it feels like it's closing in on me. It's not a good feeling. And not only do I fear for me, but I fear for the right understanding to lead you. Because I am one of the guys that gets the call that says, should we be open? Should we be closed? And part of me says, we should never close. We're the bearers of the light. And another part of me says, we have to guard the safety of our people. Anyway, I got off on a tangent. So we were asking, how do we cast? How do we cast our burdens upon the Lord? Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, please. I kind of knew where I was going, so I made some markers in my Bible. Kind of gets me there ahead of you, probably. Matthew chapter 11, this is a very familiar verse, I think. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me. We'll stop there for the moment. Step one. Come to me. So when you begin to cast, your first step, I hope, will be come to the Lord. And I say this understanding that sometimes our first step is not come to me, come to the Lord. Our first step is come to a friend. Or come to our mind, or come to anger. I think our first step needs to be to come to Him. A burden is something that affects us, that we carry, that affects us deeply. It's one of those things where we go, I have this situation and I don't know what to do. Or I've been betrayed in a way that I never thought would happen. And when that burden becomes heavy, we can find ourselves in a place of vulnerability. We can become very vulnerable to our enemy, Satan. We can become very vulnerable to the thoughts in our own head. It can create anxieties and fears and things that are very real. I live in a generation of people that have deep, latent hurt. They've been hurt by their parents sometimes in ways that a parent should never do. They've been hurt by something like date rape that should never happen to anybody. They've been hurt by relationships and dysfunctional families. Our first step is come to Him. Come to Christ. Come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. What an encouraging verse. What an amazing verse. Because for too many years, too many people have come to others and they've answered with something like, well, what did you do? And Christ says, I'm gentle. Christ certainly has a sense of right and wrong. But he's not kind of the traffic cop of our lives that wants to stand over us and find all of our wrongs. In fact, he says, quite the opposite. I want to bear it with you. Let me yoke with you. You know what that imagery is, right? It's the imagery of oxen that are working in a team together. Christ says, I want to bear this with you. Satan says, he wants to get rid of you. He's not paying attention to you. And Christ says, no, 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 no. Come unto me. I'm gentle. And I want you to understand that this is not a pep talk kind of thing. This is a pain that people carry that is a deep fear. So all of you, look, for instance, if I use the word, I don't mean to be insensitive to anybody in the room, but if I use the word cancer, that word creates a fear in just about everybody. If I use the word COVID, that creates a fear. We may not fear that we'll die, but we fear that we could. We fear that life could get very difficult. So these are deep, deep, deep fears that we sometimes carry. Saying, I know the Lord will take care of me, is great. But it's not the same as saying, Lord, come bear this with me. Come bear this with me. That's hard to say. We like to fix things ourselves. I had one of my coworkers say, why didn't you call when that happened? I said, I like to fix things myself. So this come to me step can be challenging. Sometimes we're not ready to come to him. Sometimes we're not ready because we're carrying our own stuff of some sort. We'd rather be angry. We'd rather carry our unconfessed sin than confess it. Ever been in that position? You don't have to put up your hand. The difficulty is we've all been in that position. Or perhaps there's additional baggage. Or perhaps you're just at a place where you don't quite understand yet. You know, the Lord is moving us through a process. And there are times we don't understand. We cry out to the Lord, Lord, bear this with me. So we approach God in the name of Christ. And that's a really important thing for you to understand. We approach God in the name of Christ. Why is that important to understand? Because in Christ, we're clothed in his righteousness. Right? That's why I left my jacket here. Because I can put on the righteousness of Christ and go to God. Say, Lord, Ken is a shipwreck. I come to you in the name of Christ. And you know what? You're welcome. You're welcome because of Christ. Whatever your shipwreck is, you're welcome because of Christ. As a believer, you should never fear putting on the righteousness of Christ before God. As a matter of fact, that's what God wants you to do. That's how he wants to see you. He wants to see you in him. I used to do an illustration for my junior high kids where I'd say, we're found in Christ. And then I'd take a 3x5 card and I'd put it in my Bible and I'd close my Bible and I'd say, see, you can't find a 3x5 card anymore. All you can find is Christ. Obviously, my Bible indicating Christ. That's what it means to be found in Him. So we approach God in the name of Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when He sees us in those circumstances, He sees Christ. That's part of what you get in sonship, daughtership at the cross. We come knowing that we're welcome because of the cross. Let me ask you what I hope is a rhetorical question. What sin do you carry that's bigger than the price, than the payment of the cross? The answer is none. What shame do you carry that's bigger than the price of the cross? None. And I could go on and on and on. But we do have an enemy that says, no, 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 you can't take that one. That's the big one. So when the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, we are clothed in His righteousness. That's why we start the process by saying, Father, I come near to You. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't come because of anything Ken has. And dare I say it, if we don't get that right, we may never feel like we can come. And we may never come. What a sad thing that would be. Let's turn real quick to Hebrews chapter 4, if we could. Looks like I have one that I failed them. But I failed the mark. Now you're going to see how long it takes me to get there. You don't have to feel bad about it taking you a while to get there. You have to feel bad about not trying. Okay? So if you'd go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. And where am I in my notes? Lost. Pardon me, I've lost my way a little bit. Let me pick it up again. And Hebrews 4:16 is where I was trying to go. Any of you found it and can read it out loud for us? Thank you so much, Gary. So let us approach God with confidence. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Not because of our stuff, but because of what Christ is. But because of what Christ is to us. Okay? And whatever it is you're carrying, whether it be health, whether it be an old wound, whether it be a new wound, whether it be the wounding that comes from the folks that don't agree with us because of the events of the week, whatever it is, bring it with confidence. Bring it to Christ. We need to be confident in God's mercy. We need to be confident in God's love. In Psalm 55, David lays out his requests. Some of them are pretty, we already said, some of them are pretty sharp, aren't they? But he brings his requests to God, and he is transparent before God. This is how this makes me respond. And by the way, David's no lightweight, right? This is no lightweight. What had he done earlier in life? Much earlier in life. Kind of a big thing. Goliath. Yeah. You kind of go like, I mean, he did the Goliath thing. You ought to be able to beat this. But that's the way life comes, right? That's the way life comes. Sometimes we get past and through some really big things by the grace of God, but things continue to come. God didn't say, okay, David, you got through the Goliath thing, great, you got the rest of your life off, kick back. Right? In fact, in Psalm 55, he says, I'd rather go away to my safe place. David is transparent with God. He says, I'd rather go away to my safe place, and I can't stand this person that's done this to me. So ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to help you with your bitterness. Ask God to heal your body. Ask God to give you a job. Ask God to remake your anger toward whoever it is, in whatever it is. Does this mean that it won't come back? No, it doesn't. If I ask God to take away the flu, does it mean I'll never get the flu? If I ask God to take away a certain temptation, does it mean I'll never be tempted in that way again? If I ask God to take away a fear, does it mean I'll never fear again? Maybe for a select few, maybe. But for most of us, our humanity is still pretty strong. I'm sorry. Your spiritual man is stronger, but your humanity is still there. I don't mind telling you that I felt my humanity a lot this week, and not just Wednesday. I have a dear friend, one of the nicest people I know, literally, served with him on boards at Calvary Church, and just a kind, kind guy. And I heard that he had COVID, and I was like, no. No, I don't want to hear that. Give me the right stuff to deal with that. And then I just about get past that in my head and my heart, and we have the events of Wednesday that were so disorienting. And I just about get past that, and I get a text from Pastor regarding Wisdom's exposure. And I'm like, no, no, no. Don't let that happen. And that's dealing with external stuff. There's your own sin that you carry that you do have to deal with over and over again. Sometimes God gives us complete victory over sin in our lives, and we deal with it and it's gone, but other times it has a way of coming back to our humanness. Because you have at least two adversaries that never give up. You know them both, right? One is self and one is Satan. They never give up. They never give up. I can be sitting in a meeting in this church with men that I know love Jesus as much as me, and they'll say something, and I'll go, why did he, in my head, of course, I go, why did he say that? Well, that felt like he was coming after me. Why'd he do that? I'm sure that never happens to any of you, but it does happen to me. Because I have these two enemies that won't go away. Self, got to protect Ken's name, and Satan, whose other name is the accuser. Right? Okay. I'm getting long. I hope I'm not getting boring. Thank you, whoever said that. You get to sit through the second hour now. That's a great laugh. I hope you land at this church, because that's a really good laugh. Okay. I want to remind you gently that praying and asking God to remove our sin and not allowing sin to come back to our door. We see David wrestling with that. We see Paul wrestling with that. We see Job wrestling with that. This morning you've seen Ken wrestling with it. And you too. Remember Peter walking on the water? That's a pretty good trick, walking on the water. I got to admit, like, if I could choose something from the New Testament to do that would be, like, fun, like, why might choose that, right? But Peter gets out on the water, which is pretty amazing. And then what happens? Wait a minute. There's something's going on here. What happens? He's sinking. All of a sudden, he's like, environment. Wow. Sink. And what does he do? Cries out. And what happens? Christ reaches down and brings him back up. What a great illustration that is for you and for me. What a great word picture that is for you and for me for those times when we're like, wow, this is cool. I'm walking on the water. Oh, water. Wind, environment, enemies, COVID, crazy politicians. Christ, save me. Draw near to me. You with me? Good. Next step, complain to God, not to people. Okay, so I don't mean that if you have burdens, you cannot bring them to me for prayer. That's not what I mean. I don't mean that you can't bring them to other believers for prayer. What I do mean is that we have to be really, really cautious that it doesn't turn into something far more negative than that. We're warned in Titus chapter 3. Actually, it's not a warning. It's more like a instruction. It says this in Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Malign no one. That's no fun. You know I don't mean that. Malign no one. Be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Whew. I can show a lot of consideration to a lot of people, but the people that hurt me, you know, we all have a get back muscle, don't we? Because we have to remember verse 3 that we were once pretty foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending life in malice, envy, and hateful. Wow, that's a little convicting. Take your complaint to God. Psalm 55, the psalmist really spells out his complaint, doesn't he? He says, do this, and by the way, make their tongue not work. Cut off their communication is what he's saying. Scramble their radio is what he's saying. Make their tongue not work. I'm not saying we should not pray with a trusted friend. I have trusted friends that I love dearly. But sometimes when I pray with them, I tell them very little about what they're praying about. So, you know, I need you to pray with me because I was hurt by somebody that I didn't think would ever hurt me. I need you to pray for me because somebody said something that just seemed totally off base, totally out of whack. I need you to pray for me because, you understand what I'm saying? You understand how different that is from maligning somebody? Hey, you know what Herb did to me? Whatever. I'm sorry if there's a Herb in the crowd. Do you understand the difference? Yeah, it's an important difference. And so sometimes you and I have to say to others that we love, hey, I'm happy to pray with you, but let's not allow ourselves to fall into speaking evil of one another. You can very easily spill into offenses, very easily. And there's something in us, and again, it's probably the old nature, or perhaps Satan, that it goes like, really? He did that? Well, tell me more. Just don't go there. Just don't ever go there. Next step. Tell the Lord exactly how you feel. And I've already touched on this. Verse 4 of chapter 55 of the Psalms. The psalmist is really, really transparent. I want to get out of Dodge. I had somebody put that up on their Facebook thing on Wednesday. I want to leave the planet, is what they said. Maybe. I don't know. It's not my answer. By the way, my answer wasn't I want to stay and fight. When we get a day like Wednesday, the best thing you can remember is that you are the light of the world. You get it? That's what you and I are called to be. We're called to be light. Not to increase the craziness, but to be those that bear the light of Christ, the peace of God. It doesn't mean you don't say, yeah, boy, it is crazy. But it does mean you say, I'm positive my God is bigger than this. And I bet you are. But we're tempted to let it kind of hair us out a little bit. I'm positive my God is bigger than this. Be honest with God. I know you know this, but I just am reminding you, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going, these people must be so bored. I know you know this, but I need to tell you this. Your faith is a relationship, not a religion. Your faith is a relationship with the living God, not a religion. It's not a, oh Lord, gobby, 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 repeat this over and over. Your faith is a relationship with Christ. You poor souls that have been around me a long time know that my favorite phrase, my one-sentence theology is God is a builder. And so when Wednesdays come, I say, God, what are you building? Help me see what you're building. It looks like mayhem. Help me see what you're building. Help me draw near to you. Help me cast this one to you. Help me understand my role as the light. You're just as genuine. You know, a lot of us know Ray down here, and we know that he goes into the prisons of New Hampshire, and he carries the light. But you know what? You're just as genuine a light bearer. You carry it to ProCon. You carry it to Granite State Motors, or State Street Motors, or whatever they call themselves. You carry it wherever you go. You are ambassadors for Christ. You're the light. So let's carry it worthy. Step four, give voice to faith in your prayers. And this is really one of the most precious things about the Psalms, is that, you know, if I could challenge you in some way in these times, in these crazy, crazy times, it would be to read the Psalms and to pick out from them these precious phrases of expression of faith and use them and repeat them back to God. Just go to Psalm 55 with me again, where we've been this morning, and look at verse 16. As for me, I shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will save me. What a wonderful thing to repeat back to God as an expression of faith. God, I'm coming to you. I'm calling upon you. You ask me to do that, and I'm confident that you'll save me. Look at the second half of verse 22. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Lord, I feel shaken. Help me. Help me make this a prayer of my life and my heart. Help me. Help me to understand the reality of that verse. That's why you're going through these things. So God can demonstrate the reality of his strength in you. And there's more. I realize the clock's getting on. Verse 18, verse 19. Again, I would challenge you to go through the book of Psalms and just look for these expressions of faith and jot them down and find a way to turn them into your vocabulary. Speak them back to God. Regularly, not just at the fire alarm hours, if I can say it that way. Last step. I'm going to give you a hard one. Forgive as you've been forgiven. You know, the real honest thing is there are times that we don't want to forgive people. They hurt us badly. They hurt us with long-term effects. They hurt us in ways that they should have never, never hurt us. And we don't want to forgive. I can't allow you, if I can put it that way, to continue in that pattern as somebody that loves Christ and cares about you. Matthew chapter 5 teaches us this, beginning in verse 43. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Why? In order that you may be the sons of your Father. It could say, in order that you might follow the Christ-like pattern. Some of the last words of Christ were, "Father, forgive them." That's our life pattern. That's what we're called to. You're going to be offended, I guarantee you. People are going to toss things your way, either on Facebook or in conversation or whatever, because we live in a very politically divided world. I have people that barely know me, and they'll say, "Well, I guess you're part of the Christian right." I'm like, "Where did you get that? You got the Christian part right." They'll make you part of the problem. And your best response is to be loving. I had a heartbreaking, and I'll conclude with this because I know it's getting late, and I really apologize. I had a heartbreaking text from one of my daughters this week. It was critical of Mr. Biden. And it seemed to be critical of Mr. Biden for no reason. And it was from somebody that had been one of her youth leaders. And she made a little screenshot and she sent it to me. And she said, "Why would he say this? I thought so highly of him." And it's not because, I'm not saying this because I like Mr. Biden or because of what anything like that. But let's gentle up. Let's be gentle with one another. Wouldn't it be great if somebody wronged you and you had the power to say, "Wow, that's normally not the way you act. I wish I could help you or comfort you in some way." Wouldn't that be a great response? First Peter chapter 3 says we shouldn't revile one another. And revile is an interesting word because it's a word that means criticize in an abusive way. There's at least two kinds of criticism that I know of. There may be more. But one is the criticism that I invite, where I say, "Hey, if I mess this up, help me, correct me here." But the other is criticize like revile. That's like, "Boy, that guy is blah, blah, blah," and we just pile it on. If you want revile, turn on the news. I mean, there's a ton of it right now. Okay? Let's never be those people. Let's be the forgive as you've been forgiven people. I've made you sit a long time. I went on much longer than I hoped I would. Probably much longer than you hoped I would. I love you very much. We're in tough times. We're the light of the world. There's nothing larger than our God. There's nothing stronger than the care that God has for his children. You're one of them. If you're here today and all that language is a little bit foreign to you, you don't quite get all that, what does all these things mean about relationship and all that, I would love to spend as much time as you would like after the service to talk to you about a relationship with Jesus Christ that allows you to cry out, "Abba, Father, Dad, I need your help." I appreciate your patience this morning. I'll invite you guys to come forward if you're not exhausted. And thank you so much. God bless you in these times.